Welcome to Creating Wealth Through Passive Apartment Investing Podcast. In this show, we will discuss about best and worst experiences about passive and active apartment investing. And I am your host, Ramakrishna. Let's begin the show. The Multifamily AP 360 Virtual Summit is bringing together today's leading multifamily investors, professionals, and operators for 2 days of learning and networking on March 18-19 of 2022. Tickets are available at multifamilyap360.com. I hope to see you there. Today's our guest is Satish Singaram from Fortune Investment Group. Welcome, Satish.
Thank you so much, Ramakrishna, and it's a privilege for me to attend this podcast. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Sure, thank you. And a little bit about Satish. Satish Singaram is the founder and principal of Fortune Investment Group. Satish has several years of experience in strategic acquisitions and overseeing of operations of large multifamily assets. Satish Singaram began real estate investing in USA in 2013, and since then his real estate dealings have included buying, selling single family homes, but he is very passionate about commercial real estate, especially apartments. He currently invested in 1,000 plus doors as LP and GP in multifamily projects in USA. So with that, Satish, you want to add anything to your background?
Yeah, definitely. So basically, I'm from a tech background, having into consulting IT experience for the past 20 years. So I've been always on the search for the financial freedom. So I've tried several ways. One of the ways, going into the stock market, tried to be an options trader for a couple of years. And the amount of stress level, right, it is tremendous. And, my health was, a lot of issues came up. So I thought, I stopped that immediately after 3 years of continuous day trading and scalping and all those strategies, in the sky, right? I tried all those strategies. So I was profitable. But the stress level was the one thing, that makes me worry. And I stopped immediately. And after that, I took a break, asking self-tacking or self-questions, all those. What are the things I am enjoying in terms of, working in the 9-to-5. So I found real estate as the answer, comparing to I went through all the biographies of the biggest celebrities who are all multimillionaires or billionaires. So I had a chance to look at all those biographies and all those things. So I found my answer, that is real estate. So and then I got my license in realtor in North and South Carolina, did some single family, but still I'm not satisfied. So what next? So that was the question always, still it is there. I'm very much enthusiastic about doing things correctly and executing things correctly. So that's a basic burning desire. What next? The question was multifamily. So I researched around and went to several mentorship programs and finally got settled down with one mentor, that is James Kandasamy. I spent nearly 40K into mentorship programs. I am a kind of big proponent of, believing where you want to go from point A to point B is only possible with mentorship programs. So I definitely, if I join a mentorship program, definitely I use that, take action. That is my specialty or extra attributes, I would say. So I took action and I used my mentorship program's cost in an effective way by taking action, and I achieved having completed my 4 deals so far, totaling around 1,100 units in terms of GP. And also, I'm still pursuing several other asset classes like storage unit. Still I'm pursuing, but never done deal, but still in the process of getting the deal.
Sure. And so what is your investment philosophy, Satish?
So investment philosophy, I never go after, even though I have purchased Memphis deal as a marketed deal, but I'm a big proponent of finding an off-market deal, right? So that's my, biggest investment philosophy, I would say, I have to find off-market deals or something like, you know, before coming into market. So I'll be the first person to review and pull the trigger. So I wanted to be in that stage. I was, you know, interested. But Memphis, it's a 416 units, a marketed deal. Numbers were working, and you know, the broker was very cordial and, you know, very cooperative. Actually, that deal actually went to some other group. And I was very stubborn on my pricing, so in negotiating the deal. So in fact, we were submitting the LOI more than a, you know, 1.5 million. And I was very stubborn that beyond that point, numbers were not working. I am the person that I cannot sacrifice my investors' return numbers for getting a deal, for the sake of getting the deal. So I'm not, a big no for me. Okay. So my criteria is 8% minimum for my cash on cash for my investors, and minimum 80% for 5-year return. That's what I will look for and I will shoot for. But in several other deals, couple other deals, like, you know, let's see for an example, Atlanta deal. So we told them initially in the first year, 6% cash on cash, but we started the distribution with 8% cash on cash. Investors are very happy, and a lot of you know, appraise referrals, you know, by word of mouth. That's how we have grown. So that's about it. And so main philosophy is protect our investors' money and find off-market deals. Minimum 8% cash on cash, 80% 5-year return. That's what I will.
Cool. Yeah. So would you share any your breakthrough moment in multifamily space?
I have come a long way, you know, finding my partners and, you know, different groups. Even though I'm not part of Sumrock, but I found very good partners in that group through some other forums. And I became a friend of them. And, you know, they wanted to expand in North and South Carolina. But I'm the boots on the ground person kind of, you know, agreement initially. And that gave me an opportunity to visit a lot of properties in the process of underwriting, like, you know, 100 to 150 underwriting we did before I get into a second deal. But that person was Ajay Sharma, who found my passion and, you know, fire in that burning desire in me in getting into the multifamily space. So he gave me an opportunity for me to be a part of co-sponsoring that deal, which I felt, you know, breakthrough for me. You know, some feeling, right? So when you are dying for something, the stars will align and the universe will give you whatever you want, right? So that sort of feeling when he gave me a chance to get into a Atlanta deal. Actually, we were expecting a North Carolina deal in Greensboro. I was hoping like 99% to get the deal. But I was very disappointed that deal went to some other group. And Ajay felt very bad because I did a lot of groundwork for him for all the other deals. So that's a gift he gave me, like, you know, hey, no worries. I have another deal in Atlanta. You come and join. So that's a kind of, you know, rapport I developed with Ajay and, you know, other partners. So that I felt a breakthrough moment.
Great. And so what is the other deal you mentioned that it's in Greensboro?
Greensboro, I think it's Gardens. Gardens, it's a townhome community. Uh-huh. It's about 134, I guess. 134.
Okay.
It's from Capstone.
Got it. Yeah, sure. And would you share a little bit more about your acquisition process and what is your criteria and what markets you are targeting?
So the markets what I'm targeting right now is Atlanta and North and South Carolina, obviously. And then Tampa, Florida, and then Texas. Texas predominantly in San Antonio, as I have recently closed one other deal. I'm focusing on Austin and San Antonio rather than Dallas. Dallas, every other competitors are there. So I feel an issue in San Antonio or Austin. So that's about the deal. And I criteria wise, I already shared, right? So my criteria is simple, like 8% cash on cash, 80% 5-year return for my investors.
And what size of deals you're looking?
So I can go up to 416, 500 also. That doesn't matter. Size doesn't matter. I mean, as long as this is, it is a cash flowing deal. And I won't look for bridge loan kind of thing. I strongly believe in the agency loans protect us, you know, during the downtime also. So I feel that, you know, based on the situation, I'll pull the trigger. But I feel that, you know, agency loans are comfortable for me.
Okay, so are you planning to a long-term holding or?
So minimum 4 years, 4 to 5 year hold will be there. So all other assets are doing good. And even despite COVID conditions, several other syndicators stopped the distributions, but we never did that. So because of that, we are still doing good. All the properties are doing good.
So you're planning for agency debt, and if you're exiting at 4 years, so you need to pay like a lot of pre-penalty, right?
So it depends, right? So just say for an example, we got a very good agency loan, Fannie floater in 416 Memphis deal. That is 4 year IO, interest only. So we are planning to exit in the third or fourth year. We are very comfortable in achieving the business, executing the business plan and achieving the numbers that we told to the investors.
Okay, got it. And how are you managing your assets? You have in different locations.
So the first thing what I do is normally establishing the relationship with my property management company before I make an LOI. So that's my style. Even if you are not getting the deal, irrespective of getting the deal or not, if you are targeting particular market, we already have a property management company identified and we have a very good rapport with them. And even before we make an LOI, I sit with them and I review the numbers with them. Hey, this is what the pro forma rents are. This is what the expenses are. This is what per door costs for marketing. This is what per door costs for, you know, make ready. Those kind of detail analysis happen even before LOA, right? So that's when you have a very good strong relationship with the property management team, and that's from top down, not directly contacting with the property manager. We are speaking to the CEOs and, you know, MDs of the company. That's how the relationship works, right? So we are very much gifted with that and the kind of relationships so far we have in all the markets we are targeting. And we are very comfortable in making an LOI before, you know, as we speak to them, they vet the numbers about the expenses and pro forma rents so that we are very confident that, you know, before making an LOI. That's how the Memphis deal happened. So the property management company is Multisouth. They have about 20,000 units in that particular market, and they're very well versed. We have seen their assets without letting them know by shopping around their assets. We were very excited and amazed at how much effort they put in to maintain their assets. So we were very impressed. That's why we chose them. It's not like that. Just like that, we chose them. They established a relationship with them. So,
yeah, got it.
There are a lot of work behind the scene that is going on. So before we identify anybody, right? Where vendors are, whether it can be vendors or it can be a property management company, we do our diligence before we make an issue.
Got it. So what is your top three criteria for selecting a great property management?
So they should have managed similar size of asset before, previously, past experiences and track records. We can, in this age of internet, right, can easily get their feedback through some other references, have the property owners, you know, we reach them out directly. We get their feedback as a second diligence. And then finally, we have an one-on-one with them. We'll ask questions. How do you do that? How do you do this? All those scenario-based questions, right? So, and they are very, this Memphis asset is a unique asset. It has a lot of subsidy, comes along with that because of the pilot program that Tennessee government is giving. So the property manager should have an experience in handling that board, Tennessee pilot control board, right? So that board looking for a lot of KPIs, key performance index indicators, right? So those things, they should have an experience. These guys are already managing a similar set of assets, like a bunch of them, right? 15 assets they are managing with the pilot program. So we were very comfortable. So that's the style of, you know, choosing a property management company.
Got it. Thank you. So would you share any of your best multifamily investing experience so far, Satish?
So I would say Atlanta property is the best part of my multifamily investment so far, because as soon as we acquired that property it's near with the Kia Motors. LaGrange is a small town in Atlanta. It's about 50 miles from major Atlanta downtown. It has a Kia plant, car plant. So we got the news that, you know, the Kia Motors is being acquired by, you know, 50% of the shares that are acquired by something like that, by Apple. So that's greatest news and good fortune. And the property values are very much appreciated in that area. And so as our multifamily investment as well. That property is doing phenomenal. And also, like, the same way, the Memphis property, as soon as we acquired, we got the news that Ford is expanding about investing around $5 billion in that particular MS near Tennessee. Like, you know, from Memphis, it is about 90 miles away. There is a plant doing battery operated cars. So, nearly $5 billion investment is pouring in that particular market. So hopefully that will also appreciate very well as expected compared to Atlanta property.
Great, great. Would you also share any of your challenging experiences in multifamily space?
So challenging experience, so I would say the Memphis deal. The deal is, the total raise for the property is about 12.2 million. And myself and Sridhar were the lead sponsors on the deal. And Sridhar was doing back-to-back deals, construction deal, and, you know, some other deal as well. So we were literally, you know, Memphis, we never know that, you know, Memphis this much tough to raise money for a Memphis deal. That was the only major setback for us. And we stopped the fundraising after 2 or 3 weeks and started searching for private equity players to accompany us, you know, to close the property as per the scheduled time. But we were, you know, approaching nearly 60 or 70 companies, private equity firms. Many of them are, you know, volunteered for 1 week, and, you know, then they'll say that, no, we have some other deal better than this. So they went off immediately. Just like that, it went, like, you know, 1 month it went. So we were nearing the contract completion, and we had to extend the contract. And also the other reason is pilot program, it has a lot of formalities between the Memphis county as well as Memphis pilot board. So that took a lot of time. Unfortunately, that is an advantage for us. So we extended the contract, and, you know, we did pass that fundraising and take a step back. Okay, stop, what we are doing wrong? And we started 3 weeks, and the feedback was not good. So we went to several private equity firms, family offices, big investors. None of them are materialized so far. Why should we waste our time in spending time on identifying unfortunate, you know, investors, like a family office or private equity? Why don't we feel confident and go and sell this product, right? So that's the decision point we were. And, you know, we had around one extension, and second extension also because of, not because of the fundraise. So second extension also happened because of the pilot program delays. And Memphis County, they are running the all the approvals with the volunteers, not an appointed staffs. Okay, so there was a procedural delay in terms of, you know, completing their work. So that is an unfortunate thing for us, an advantage for us. We capitalized the time, and we went aggressive. We had some more GPs, co-GPs in the middle of the fundraise, and we were able to manage, you know, complete that fundraise within a short period of time before exactly the closing. So that was a very challenging moment. And that one deal will give you all the lessons of doing 20 deals. That was the stress amount of stress that we went through, and you know, the challenges. It was amazing. Like, you know, I'm very much thankful for that lessons. Without that, I'm not being this strong in taking up any other opportunities.
Got it. And thank you. Thanks for sharing that. And what is your current focus? Share something you're excited about now, Satish.
Adding 1,000 more units in my 2022 year. That's a meaningful goal that I have. The focus markets are Texas and Atlanta and North and South Carolina. So I have a big regret that I'm being in North Carolina. I'm waiting for a deal in North Carolina for the past 3 years. So that's a big regret. Hopefully this year I will fulfill that. And I wanted to have a property here and with a good asset. Either it can be a 80s vintage, or I will create one, like, you know, buying land and develop the property. That's the plan I have right now.
Great. And good luck with that.
Thank you.
Any one advice that impacted you, Satish?
Not impacted me in terms of advice. I am basically a very enthu and a very aggressive person. So nobody wanted to advise me. So I will go myself 200% when I'm into it. Before committing, I'll think a lot of other things. Once I commit, I will go my heart and soul on it. So 200% guaranteed. But when I give advice for newbies, a lot of people I see, you know, jumping onto the deals without knowing the sponsors and their backgrounds, and based on, you know, they want to just do the deal. So remember one thing, this is a marathon. This is not a sprint. So if you want to win in marathon, you have to learn the game. Right. So you have to know the in and out of syndication process, know the mechanics, what if scenarios. Like, so right now the market is doing good. What if 3 years down the line, if the economic conditions are going down, the entire scenario will be upside down, right? How are you going to survive in that particular scenario? Do you have an answer? Do you have a mentor to, you know, support you in that particular time? Do you have an expert to advise you? Those are all the things I will look for, you know, I will think of before we jump onto the deal. It's not just an acquisition fees is going to pay you or going to give you a financial freedom, but the amount of credibility that you're creating with your investors. And also the long run, like 4 or 5 years, completing one full cycle with an excellent return for investors will give you a competitive edge compared to other syndicators. That's what my advice would be.
Yeah, and this is great advice, Satish.
Thank you so much.
Sure. So any books that impacted your life and what way?
Definitely. Everybody says like Rich Dad Poor Dad. I read that multiple times, like, you know, nearly 12 times, I would say. I am a big proponent of, listening audiobooks several times as a daily ritual. A lot of books I read, but Rich Dad, Poor Dad was the one which impacted me a lot. And also one another book, I would say The Missing Secret from, it was very good in terms of, you know, feeling good by yourself.
Okay, thank you. So how are you giving back to community?
I'm growing, and definitely I wanted to give back to the community. So I've given chances, even my third deal, like Memphis deal, I've given chances, but people are not, I mistakenly, you know, chose wrong persons as co-GPs, but I wanted to give back, and I wanted to encourage newbies to come on board to do deals with me, along with me. But remember one thing, you have 10 or 20 people, standing in line for raising 1 million. Okay. They can do, because first timers, right? They have a immediate close circle. They'll be able to do. But when you say, when any experienced GP is asking, hey, how much you can raise? So you have to go above and beyond. Hey, I can do 2 million. If you're saying that, really mean it. So you will get a chance, but not for the sake of telling you should not say that. Right. So you should go above and beyond. At least try to make, 1.5 to 1.75. The sponsor will be very happy, and the amount of experience you will learn is not at all near to the money that we are paying for the membership programs. So find a person who's really willing to give you enough knowledge. I don't have anything to hide with my co-sponsors. So still, several people who did it for me also. Several people. I don't want to name that person, but never been allowed me to sit inside, join the call for an asset management call because I was very aggressive to learn things. He doesn't want me to learn things. That was a breaking point for me, to go and do deals and do the asset management, specialize the asset management in particular, so that, the person, the investors will remember you forever, right? So that was my take on asset management. And also keen on learning things every day. Small things you are adding every day, right? So it will be a ocean. When you complete one full cycle of a deal, giving 300% of returns for your investors, nobody will take away the history from the investor's mind, right?
Yeah.
So that was my best advice, I would say.
Got it. Thank you. So how can listeners can connect with you, Satheesh?
Listeners can connect me via phone. My cell number is 920-944-4815. And they can reach me in my email, Satheesh, S like Sam, E like Alpha, T like Tom, H like Henry, E like Edward, S like Sam, H like Henry, @ Fortune Investments, as plural, investmentsgrp.com, fortuneinvestmentsgroup.com.
Sure. And thank you, Satheesh. Thank you. And thanks for adding value to the show. Thank you for sharing your experiences.
Hey, thanks a lot. And it's a pleasure to come and join with you, and appreciate your inviting me for this show, and definitely looking forward to work with you in the future as well.
Sure.
Thank you so much.
The Multifamily AP 360 Virtual Summit is bringing together today's leading multifamily investors, professionals, and operators for 2 days of learning and networking on March 18, 19 of 2022. Tickets are available at multifamilyap360.com. I hope to see you there. If you like the show, please subscribe, share, rate, and review. And if you want to connect with me, please send me a message, info@ushacapital.com. Thank you for listening. Creating Wealth Through Passive Apartment Investing Podcast. I hope you learned something from the show. See you in the next episode. Thank you. Any information provided from these shows are educational purpose only. As always, please consult with your own CPA, legal, and financial advisor before investing.